Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.B. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God is worthy.
Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We are here every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to pray for one another. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let us pray. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Almighty God, show us how to honor you with our faith, just as Abraham did throughout his life. We want to be a people of great faith and to experience you as El Shaddai in our life. At times, Abraham did not exhibit the faith that he displayed in his latter years. And in so doing, he delayed your covenant with him. Help us to not cause delays in our destiny, but rather to walk upright in faith, starting even from today, O Lord. Strengthen the muscles of our heart and our soul so we are willing to risk everything for you. Help us to demonstrate our dedication and commitment to you, our King, and to your kingdom agenda on earth. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My brothers and sisters, it's as simple as that. You call on the name of the Lord and call in your prayer request, and we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
I am the one who spoke into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed, but racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can be healed.
Amen. Praise God. El Salai, God, my rock. El Salai, I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, I find a firm foundation
to build my life. You provided my salvation and the stability of my times. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. And I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. Praise God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good.
There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him,
call on him,
pleaded with the Lord to heal,
call on him.
Down on my knees I called on him, hey,
call on him.
All of a sudden I heard a voice singing deep down. Going through trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden, Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Now you be pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on
you
him.
You gotta call on him and hear his voice speaking way deep down inside. He's saying,
praise be to God. Praise God, everybody. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. So at this time, I will play another selection. After the selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Jesus be the center. Say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God. Which is entitled, Listen and Learn. Ooh, praise be to God. Listen and learn. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 27. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, and it says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. Praise God. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. Praise be to God. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Praise be to God. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Praise be to God. So you see, to keep ourselves from letting the world corrupt us, we need to commit ourselves to Christ's ethical and moral system, not the world's. We are not to adapt to the world's value system, which is based on money, power, and pleasure. True faith means nothing if we are contaminated with such values. Praise God. And that is our scriptural reading for this message. Again, the title of this message is Listen and Learn. And the text for this message is coming from James chapter 1, verse 19, and it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Praise be to God. The writer says, on one side of the street, a homeowner displayed in his yard a giant blowed up bald eagle draped in a U.S. flag. A big truck sits in the driveway. Its side window features a painted flag, and the back bumper is covered with patriotic stickers directly
across the street in a neighbor's yard are signs that highlight the slogans for current social justice issues in the news. Are the people in these homes feuding or friends? We might wonder, is it possible that both families are believers in Jesus? God calls us to live out the words of James 1 and 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Too often, we stubbornly hold on to our opinions and aren't willing to consider what others are thinking. Matthew Henry's commentary has this to say: we should be swift to hear reason and truth on all sides and be slow to speak. And when we do speak, there should be nothing of wrath. Someone has said, learning requires listening. The words from God in the book of James can only be accomplished if we are filled with God's loving spirit and choose to respect others. He's willing to help us make changes in our hearts and attitudes. Are we open to listen and learn? Question: how does God want you to put James 1 into practice? And whom might you need to listen to and hear? Think about those two questions. Amen. You know us, God. We can be opinionated sometimes. Help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. We live for you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I live for you. believe in Christ and to die again. For I will look unto the altar and the finisher of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I live for you.
I'll
die in you.
For I have set the Lord always before me. Because you're on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen? Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection while we are coming to a closing of this part of our program, our Sweet Hour of Prayer, and then we'll go right into our service for this evening at 7 p.m. Praise God.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you greet us. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain. Lord, you greet us. Greater than all,
Amen. Praise be to God. God, my rock, again and again, I enter into my day with the greatest of intentions, ready to trust in you as your name reminded me of your great power. Yet, when the winds blow and the waves crash against the shore, I forget to look at you, my God, my rock. I forget that you are strong and that you have not been moved by what moves me. Forgive me each and every time I have not sought refuge in you, God, my rock. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Glory.
I will do it.
every voice in this room. We have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Fill me up, Lord. I need more and more of you each and every day, each and every second, each and every minute. Fill me up, Lord, with your word, with your love. Amen, amen. All right. It is now time for a word. My scripture reading is coming from John, which is in the middle of your Bible, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 3 through 15. Amen? And this chapter is talking about how Jesus talks to a woman at the well. Amen? Let us begin. Verse 3. So he left Judah, and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well. Amen. About noontime, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." Hallelujah. "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. Give them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So you see, the woman mistakenly believed that if she received the water Jesus offered, she would not have to return to the well each day. She was interested in Jesus' message because she thought it could make her life easier. But if that were always the case, then people would accept Christ's message for the wrong reasons. Christ did not come to take away challenges, but to change us on the inside and to empower us to deal with problems from God's perspective. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God, my rock, you deserve my gratitude. You stay steady when all else around me crumbles and falls. Thank you for your power and strength. Thank you for being my rock, the God of my salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for my sins. Thank you for not only saving me for eternity, but also for offering me salvation while on earth. Accept my humble words and heart of prayer as I bow before you to thank you for all you have done for me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. The title of my message is, There's More Than Water in His Well. Amen. Now, our text today presents to us a woman who is jaded by life. She has been around and around, riding the merry-go-round of life, and she is worn out from it. She has tried drinking from every well around her, but she has left them all just as thirsty as she was when she came. So one day, Jesus Christ showed up outside her little town. She meets him and he opens her eyes to the fact that there is a new life, a life that is free from the burdens and problems of the life she is now living. Jesus takes this jaded, hardened woman and he leads her to a place of trust. He leads her to take a drink of living water from the well of faith. When she drinks the Lord's water, she said there's more than water in his well. As I thought on this text today, it reminded me of where I was when the Lord found me. Just like the woman in these verses, I was looking for something I did not have. I was drinking from every well I could find, but none were satisfying the thirst in my soul. When I met Jesus Christ and he offered me a drink from his well, I found out that there's more than water in his well. Nothing with me that trusts the present themselves to us in this text. If you are saved, let the Lord remind you how good he has been to you in redeeming your soul. If you are lost, answer him as he calls you to come to him and drink of his well. Notice the truth in this chapter that reminds us there's more than water in his well. Now let's talk about a tragic sinner. In verse 6, the tragedy of her isolation. This woman came to Jacob's well to draw water, but she did not come when all the other women came. The woman came to draw their water early in the morning, but before the sun rose high into the sky. They came while it was still cool. History tells us that it was about a mile from town to the well where they came for water. Drawing and carrying water for the day was hot, sweaty work. While they were there, they caught up on the local gossip and enjoyed a few minutes by themselves, away from the pressure of living in a male-dominated society. Why did this one woman not come with the others? I think the answer can be found in verses 17 through 18, where it says, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." And verse 28, where it says, "The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone." And verse 17 tells us, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Tells us that she is a woman of much experience. Perhaps she had been with men who belonged to some of the other women. Perhaps she was often the topic of their gossip as they drew water from the well. When she met Jesus and wants to tell the people of the city that the Messiah has come, she does not go to the other women of the town. She runs to the men. Verse 28, it would seem that this woman was an outcast socially. In the course of her conversation with Jesus, he tells her that she is even isolated from God in verses 20 through 22. Even the little worship she managed to work into her sinful life was of no use for her spiritually. She was an outcast spiritually as well. She is a picture of every person who is not a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? The Bible says that our sinful conditions separates us from God in Isaiah 59 and 2. What a miserable condition to be in, to lack the ability to pray, to worship, and to fellowship with God is a horrible way to live. Yet, many are in that condition today. They pray, but God doesn't hear. Isaiah in Psalm 66 and 18, they go to church to worship, but they cannot worship in spirit and truth because they are lost in sin. All their religious activity is merely an exercise in the flesh. It does not reach heaven, and it doesn't not touch the Lord. They are lost and are isolated from God, his blessings, and his salvation. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verses 7 through 26, the tragedy of her ignorance. In these verses, this poor woman tries to argue religion with Jesus. At first, She sees him as just another Jew, and she wants him to know that she has some ideas about religion too. She talks about their religious differences. Verse 9, she uses sarcasm and ridicule. In verses 11 through 12 and 15, she tries to bring up a religious dispute in verses 19 through 20 in attempt to escape the penetrating statement of Jesus in verses 16 through 18. Through all of this, Jesus shows her just how little she knows about God, about worship, and about herself. Notice the word "if" in verse 10. Regardless of what she thought she knew, Jesus points out to her that there is one thing she does not know. She does not know who Jesus is, and that is the main thing. Jesus tells her that if she only knew, she could ask Jesus for living water, and she would be forever satisfied. Left to herself, this woman might have died thinking that she was all right spiritually. Thank God that Jesus reached into her darkness and dispelled her ignorance about himself and about the way of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Someone has said, what you don't know won't hurt you. I say, what you don't know can send you to hell. Far too many people are living in ignorance when it comes to how to get to God. Many are like this woman in our text. They know just enough about the church and about Christianity to be a danger to themselves. There are many things about the Bible and about theology that you may never learn. Not knowing them will not keep you out of heaven, nor will not knowing them send you to hell. But if you miss the main thing, you will never see heaven, and you will go to hell. What is the main thing, you ask? Here it is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16 and 31. That is the main thing. Don't miss it. Many will die and go to hell from the pews of Baptist churches because they miss Jesus. They learn how to go to church and to Sunday school. They learn how to tithe. They learn what kind of Bible to buy. They learn how to turn over a new leaf and how to live a clean life. They learn many things, but they never learn the truth that salvation comes only through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They never learned that salvation is by grace through faith. And you will find it, read it in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. In verses 11 through 26, the weariness of her inconsistency. Here she is, a woman with a checkered past, living a wicked life in verses 16 through 18. Yet she feels that she is qualified to argue religion with the Lord Jesus Christ. She demonstrates a clear picture of hypocrisy in action. People to do this kind of thing all the time. Everybody thinks they are qualified to argue with God. They say, well, I think this or that, or I believe this way or that way, or I know what the Bible says, but oh, what foolishness. Who do you think you are? Did you know that it does not matter what you think? Did you know that God really doesn't care how you feel? Did it ever cross your mind that God's word is not up for debate? Praise be to God. Here is the bottom line. God said it, and it is settled forever. Psalms 119:89. You can read it for yourself. He has already told us that the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Acts 4:12, Acts 16:31. Read it for yourself. He has already told us that works will not get anyone in. Ephesians 2:8-9. Titus 3:5. He has made this his plan of salvation crystal clear. If you want to be right and go to heaven when you die, then you will do it God's way. If you want to remain the lost and spend eternity in hell, then you go ahead and do it your way. That may sound narrow to you, and it is intended to. God did not leave this thing open to debate, but he clearly, concisely, and correctly stated how things are, and it is settled. Argue if you will, but it will do no good. Besides, who are you to argue with him? Romans 9:20. Read it for yourself. A tender Savior. Verse 4. He is tender in his grace. The Bible tells us that he must needs go through Samaria. Most Jews went miles out of their way to go around Samaria, avoid coming in contact with them. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They were considered to be an inferior race because they were descendants from Jews who had intermarried with Gentiles that had been placed in the land by the Assyrians. Thank God that Jesus does not operate like other men. He did not care about their heritage. He did not care about the hatred of others. He did not care about the racial lines drawn by ignorant men. He operates in the realm of grace. Jesus went to that place and sat on that well because he wanted to save this poor woman. Even his disciples were shocked by what Jesus had done in verse 27. If Jesus had acted like any other Jew, he would have passed this woman and her town by. But he extended grace to them and brought them salvation to Sychar. Think about it. If you and I got what we deserve, we would have never gotten a second look from God. But I praise God for a Sunday morning when Jesus said, I must needs go through Morganton. He does not look at us on the basis of our wretched sinful condition. He looks at us through eyes of love and grace. He is not blind to our sin because it separates us from him. But his grace bridges the gap between us and brings him nearer to offer salvation to you and me, to me. God's justice demands that you and I die for our sins, Romans 6:23. But when justice cry out to be satisfied, mercy answered, and God sent Jesus to die in our place on the cross, Romans 5:6-8. Now, in grace, he offers salvation to all who will come and be saved. Revelation 22:17. Listen, salvation is all of grace. It is not about what you can give or what you can do. It is about what Jesus did when he died for you and for me. It is about you throwing in the towel and realizing that you can unable to save yourself. It is about you trusting him and his grace alone to save your soul. Getting to heaven will never depend upon you. It depends entirely upon his grace. Verse 27-26, he is tender in his graciousness. Jesus works with this woman patiently. He took her where he found her and gently led her to where she needed to be. He brought her to the place where she was, ready to hear about him and about who he was. Then, when he revealed himself to her in verse 26, she was at a place where she was ready to believe on him. That is how the Lord always works with people. He takes us where he finds us and gently leads us along to the place of faith in him. He is always the perfect gentleman. He stands at the door of man's heart and he knocks. Knocks is in the present tense. Active voice. He just keeps on knocking. He patiently waits until that door is open and he can come in. Revelation 3:20. Most of us who are saved can look back over our lives and see the patient hand of God guiding us to the point of faith. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is another reason why we should not be discouraged when we are praying for lost loved ones. God may be working in their lives, leading them along, and you just can't see what he is doing. Be patient and keep praying. If the Lord has placed a burden on your heart for them, that in itself is evidence that he means to save them in his time, not our time, in his time. In verses 10-14, he is tender in his gift. Jesus promised this woman that he could give her a drink of living water. He promised her that this water would satisfy her in the depths of her soul. I would imagine that this properly appeared to her. She had tried all types of physical relationships to satisfy the deep longings of her soul, and they had all left her empty and thirsty. Sex had not satisfied her. Marriage had failed 5 times to satisfy her. Living in the depths of sin on the fringes of society had failed to bring her happiness. Here, Jesus offers her an opportunity to find everything she has been looking for by merely receiving his offer. The words "drinketh" in verses 13 and 14 are worth nothing today. In verse 13, the word "drinketh" is in the past, in the present tense, active voice. What Jesus is saying in verse 13 is this: even if you keep on drinking the water from this well, you will get thirsty again. However, the word "drinketh" in verse 14 is in the aorist tense, active voice. In verse 14, Jesus is saying, but whosoever takes just one drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. In other words, Jesus is promising that just one trip to him will satisfy the soul forever. You may have tried it all, and if you have, I think I can safely say that it has left you feeling empty and unfulfilled. But if you will come to Jesus, receive him into your heart and life, he will save you forever, satisfied the deepest craving of your heart. Would you rather keep drinking from a well that can never satisfy? Or would you rather take one drink from a fountain that never fails to give perfect and absolute satisfaction? It's Jesus offering. He is offering satisfaction and salvation for your soul. He is offering you the opportunity to have all your sins forgiven. He is offering you the opportunity to be right with God. He is offering you the opportunity to miss hell and go to heaven when you die. What is the catch? There is no catch. All he requires from you is everything. He wants you to come before him, confessing yourself a sinner and calling on him by faith. He wants you to take his death on the cross as the payment for your sins. He wants you to believe what the Bible says about him, and he wants you to accept it all on the basis of faith. Romans 10 and 9, if you will do that, he will save you, and he will satisfy your soul. The attractions of the world will lose their grip on you. He wants to save you, and he wants to satisfy you. Why? He is such a tender Savior, a tremendous salvation. Verse 28. It changed her activities. When she hears that Jesus is the Messiah in verse 26, she has all the information she needs She forgets about her mission to get some water from the well, verse 7. Now she wants to tell others about the well of living water. She has experienced that a certain well Jesus spoke of in verse 14 is startling to flow, and she cannot keep it in. She is different, and she wants others to experience it too. This is what Jesus does in every life he redeems. He changed old sinners into something brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old activities and attractions of sin and the world lose their appeal to the newborn saints of God. They know they are saved. They know they are different, and they want others to hear about how Jesus can change them too. When Jesus comes in, he will change everything. You will walk differently. You will talk differently. You will think differently. You will have a brand new life, and nothing will be as it was. You will be a new person from top to bottom and from the inside out. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. In verse 28 through 29, it changed her ambitions. Notice that she runs to tell the men about Jesus. Why the men? They all knew her. Many probably knew her intimately. The other women hated her, but the men loved her. So she runs to the very people who had shared her life of sin. Imagine how curiosity is plagued when she comes running in their direction. However, this time, things are different. Now, she isn't talking about a redemptress. She is talking about redemption. She hasn't come to arrange an affair with a guy. She has come to tell about amazing grace. She hasn't come looking for a date. She has come to talk about a deliverer. Yes, she is different. And the ones who knew her best sees the change first. Again, when salvation is real, there will be a change in your life. Old friends will see the difference. And familiar activities will become something you used to be before you met Jesus. Everything changes when you meet him. Verse 29, it charged her acknowledgement. Notice how this woman moved from not knowing Jesus to proclaiming him as the Messiah. In verse 9, he is a Jew. In verse 11, she calls him sir. In verse 19, she sees him as a prophet. By verse 29, she has reached the place where she calls him Christ. She sees him as the need of her soul. How did she make the progression from antagonism to acceptance? The Lord led her gently along. He brought her from knowing nothing about him to seeing him as her only hope in just a few minutes. It was a powerful, miraculous work of grace. If you expect to ever be saved, you must come to the place where you understand that Jesus is your only hope. Acts 4:12. If you will follow the light that the Lord gives you, he will lead you to that place. And my conclusion is, are you saved today? If you are, rejoice. Like that Samaritan woman that day, you have discovered that there is more in his well than just water. There is life. There is joy. There is peace. There is blessings. There is power. There is glory, a blessed eternity, and so much more. You ought to praise him for that today. If you are not saved, you need to come to Jesus Christ right now. If you will come to him, he will save you. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time to do so. All you have to do is say this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. So I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you. And again, thank you for tuning in to pray one for another. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda. And on behalf of my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, my co-host, Sister Barbara, the Fivefold Ministry, and all of our guests online, and those on the internet, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will come with our devotional message, our inspirational music, and our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministries down in Arizona is going to come and bless us with a mighty word from God. Amen. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us with a word. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We love you and all of our love and regards from our pastor, Apostle Adi Wiggins. Amen. Shalom, everyone. And we are going to leave out with All Belongs to You by the Wiki Tones. Good night. God bless you. And I love you all.
Belongs to you. thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.